She missed my cue. Praise the Lord. Now, if Rocket can have a theme song, amen? Y'all remember that music? You remember me talking about it? God gave it to me? Well, I just want you to remember it. If I forget it, you remind me, and if you forget it, I'll remind you. Now, if you remember, that's what I sound like when I'm walking in the Spirit. And there's not a reason in the world that couldn't be y'all. All you have to do is believe it. And you remember, I played you the rest of it. I'm going to do it tonight. But, all right? I should not be ashamed, right? Or timid. Hallelujah. I don't know what God's going to do tonight, but I just felt like we needed to start with that. Praise the Lord. Now I'm excited. I want to remind you a little bit of review just for a minute. And the reason I feel like I need to remind you, this is not a correction, this is a reminder. From where I came from to where I am now, I need to be reminded constantly of this fact. God doesn't come and go. He's around all the time. You don't ask Him to perform a truth. His truth is all the time. He's not changing His truth. He's changing you to comply with the truth. Don't look down the road and watch for something to come. It's already here. You get on down the road and get it. That makes sense? Not arguing with anybody's word. It's a thought process. You may think that's a fine point, but it isn't. When Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come and thy will be done," He didn't say, "When God comes back." He said, "Now." And He believed it. That's why He accomplished what He accomplished. We need to believe that healing is already accomplished. Provision is already accomplished. Your freedom is already accomplished. You just need to get in there and take it. One of the things that we've been duped on is that we are to pray to God to give us something. Y'all really believe that, because that's what half of us pray most of the time. Give me something. God created the earth. It took Him 6 days, which is a long time in God's timing. When He was finished, He sat down. And He hasn't gotten up. Quit asking Him to get up and come to your aid. You go into what He's already provided. And thank Him. The way you get in there to that provision is you believe that it's true and you thank Him all the time. Jesus came and accomplished the rest of the work that we screwed up. And then He said, "It is finished." So let's don't ask Him to do anymore. Let's believe that He meant what He said when He said, "It is finished." If you can get a hold of those three words, your life will change. "It is finished" means He has done it all and He's not doing anymore. We're the ones behind. He's far beyond in asking us to catch up. Please, you may think that I'm harping on a peanut, but I am not. This is a major, major thought process. You cannot release guilt and be free if you think it's coming. You got to be. And when you don't free it, when you don't feel it, you still got to be it. You think that I feel like getting up here and doing that little with the music? No, because God told me that's what I look like. I need to conform to His Word. Stop trying to make the Word conform to my circumstances. Okay. Father, we thank You that You are true. Then, now, and forever. Teach us tonight. Use this oracle to move this crowd towards You, so that we will never be the same. It is the way it is. We will never be the same, and we cry that out and believe it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I want to, and by the way, let me remind you of something. What makes joy in the Lord's heart is for you to not just believe His Word, but to act on it. In any parent, for instance, what makes a parent happy is to see their children do their preaching, their teaching, their life. Do it. Believe it so much they finally assume the position that I'm going to do what I've been taught because it's best. And God's joy heals me. If I want joy, I've got to make Him joyful. And if I want Him full of joy, all I got to do is believe Him and then act like I do. All right. I'm going to read you one verse of Scripture. No, I'm going to read you more than that. But if you can bring up James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. Please, when you study the Word, when you read the Word, excuse me, there's two definitions of sin. Always remember this. One is missing the mark, and there's another one, unto death. And most of the time when you read the word sin, it's talking about missing the mark. It's not talking about unto death. Okay? Now my version says this, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. What does it say? That you may be healed. Does everybody want to be healed? Does everyone want to walk in health? When's the last time you confessed one of your trespasses? That was quiet, wasn't it? Well, I understand that. That's not easy for anybody to do. So I'm going to stand up here and confess one to you. I've already done that. It seems like I'm busy doing that nearly every time I'm up here. But maybe I'm just getting more and more and more the understanding of being a walking in health. I can't be healed. The Bible says I'm already healed. I need to adjust my language. I need to walk in that health. Let's stop praying to be healed. We're already healed. All right. Since I've seen you last, I had a little episode that I've never had before, and that is that, you know, when you've got the mileage on you that I have, sometimes there's a little ache and pain once in a while, and the problem is we give it place with that excuse. We use the word age, or we use the word motorcycle wreck, or we use something that gives place to a pain. Now what we need to do is there's joy, that's God, there's pain, that's the enemy. If we break it down simple, we understand what we can put up with, what we want. But very stressful time, and had a little pain, didn't think anything about it, right over here. Didn't think anything about it. Actually, I gave it an excuse. I said, when I reached around to do something in the car the other day, I kind of pulled. That makes sense. Well, it makes flesh sense. It doesn't make spiritual sense. But I gave that thing place. Didn't think anything about it. Slept, got up the next day, the next afternoon, I'm going, man, that hurts. Well, you'll get over it. Well, that night, that evening, it got bad. When I say it's bad, I'm telling you it's bad, because I'm pretty good at ignoring pain. This one, I didn't ignore. And it got to the point within a matter of about 2 hours where the pain went up here all the way down my shoulder. And before, I could not get relief, not laying down, not standing up, nothing. And at one time I found myself on the floor, hands and knees, and couldn't move, and it was hurting. Yeah, I knew my wife was praying, and I wasn't exactly pleased with the situation, so I was interjecting some things, but I had already given it place. I had already given it place. Well, my wife, bless her heart, she loves me, and she don't want me to see me go through that, so she runs in the back room, and she gets some morphine tablets. And she throws that down. By now, I'm not even knowing what's going on. I'm just wanting it to stop. She throws it down my throat, and I drink it. And I didn't even know I took it. I could tell you a lot of stories about that. But I might as well have just taken a vitamin. Or maybe a pain enhancer, because it got worse. And as the evening rolled on, man, I'm hurting. So she goes and gets Celebrex. Anybody know what that is? I don't even know why I had it. It was a Mexico brand of Celebrex. Guess I got it in Mexico sometime. And she got that down me, and that began to relieve the pain. Celebrex is tough stuff. It's a muscle relaxer. One of the things that the devil knows is if I can find a spot in you and I can push it, you'll tense up all over. Mentally, physically, and when I tense up, one of the disadvantages of having a pretty good muscular structures, when I tense, I tense. But it relaxed a little bit, and I decided, well, I'm going to bed. Well, I couldn't lay down. I couldn't turn it lay on my stomach. I found one spot on my side in a little fetal position that I could lay on one side. And I went to sleep, woke up in that position the next morning. It was a little sore. But now, listen to me. Now, I had enough spiritual strength to begin a fight. I started late and I paid the price. Why? Because most of us are slower than we ought to be. Now, what you need to do is, if you want to survive some of these things, listen. Don't go through them to figure it out. Listen to somebody that went through it, okay? What went wrong? This is the first... See, repentance, you will do the rest of your life. You will do it the rest of your life. I don't care if it's... I'm not supposed to eat green beans. If God says that and you eat one, you're going to repent. It's just that simple. And what that is that's a fine-tuning process to get you to be that sword that you're supposed to be, that weapon that you're supposed to be, hardened and sharpened and I don't care if you strengthen them down the front. If God says you are that, it doesn't mean you are yet, but you will be. Just take the position. So I ask, what did I do wrong? All right, number one, I didn't attack this properly and in order. The attack must begin the minute your attack must begin. You don't fall on your knees and pray, you begin to get up and attack. You do it right then. You don't consider the reasons you have it. Did you know if you consider the reasons the devil will give you more reasons than you can imagine? If you need a reason, he'll come up with one and he'll make you believe it. Why? Because you opened that door. Jesus said there isn't any reasons. I took all the reasons away. I took them away. And so if we give no reason or excuse to the enemy, we can start that attack the minute we start getting attacked. There was an offer come to me of a pain, and I took it. I heard the pastor say the other day, the pain is just a thought. They knock you out, you're not in pain. I believe that. I don't think I've heard it that way before, but I believe it. So if a pain comes, I need to say, no, you're a lie. I don't walk in pain. I walk in health. And I need to do it the minute I have it. We'll be surprised how instantaneous our healing is, our manifestation of the healing when we do that. I made excuses for the pain. I sought positional relief. First thing you thought of is, well, if I lay down, I turn over, I do something, I'll get relief from this. All it is just a tight muscle. I lay down, it'll... No, the attack was already on. And you need to remember, don't ever forget this. The job of the enemy is to kill, steal, and destroy. And if you don't nip this in the bud, you're going to end up dead. Why? Because we're told what the goal of the enemy is. Just because this is a first step, stop the first step. That's it. Stop it. I sought positional relief instead of spiritual relief. Instead of getting up and praising and initiating a full-scale war, I retreated. I sought some chemical assistance. I wonder how that makes Jesus feel. When he's already been beaten up and shed the blood and hung on the cross for that, I wonder how he feels when I seek any other lover, any other assistance. Listen, if God himself tells you don't listen to that guy, you don't listen, but I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. God is my healer. Jesus is my healer. The healer's my healing has already been accomplished. I'm not seeking healing. I got it. I'm not seeking salvation. I have it. They come in the same package. Jesus died once, paid the price for both. He didn't separate them. I waited till the next day before I really instituted the war. Now, whether you believe this or not, that pain is trying to come back this moment. Because why? The devil don't want you to know about this stuff. Now it just went away. Tell on him sometime. Never argue with him. He's a loser. You don't argue with losers. He's defeated. You know your Bible says he's already defeated. You do know that, don't you? Why? Why would you argue with somebody that's a loser? The other thing that really has helped me in this, now I've done all the confessing I'm going to confess. I'm through here. Now it's time to move on. The one thing that has been happening that I'm very excited about is, and I want to share with you, we're going to know that we really believe when we don't have to fight. Well, maybe I wasn't through confessing. From that time and through a lot of other things and other circumstances, I've been offered many, many opportunities to retreat. And one of the things that I've learned through the ministry here, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is that I can whip the enemy with a smile quicker than I can with a loud shout. And I'm not talking about somebody in my face. I'm talking about an offering of failure. Well, you're gonna lose this, and you're gonna do that, and this. So, do I have a promise that I'm cared for? Then how can I lose anything? If I have the promise, see, everybody in here has the promise. It's not a matter if I have it, if I believe it. Well, how do I believe it? Well, one thing that just popped into my head. You know, the one thing that I don't do every day is pull out my wife and I's marriage license to make sure that I'm married. It's established. I never think about it again. If I can get the word in my heart established, I don't have to even quote it. It's written on my heart. Now the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. It's going to come out. And it's going to come out in joy. And it's going to come out with thanksgiving. And it's going to come out with a smile. Now, I'm not a great smiler, but the enemy knows when I smile. And he knows what kind of smile I'm giving. My children used to know what kind of smile I had, whether it was a threatening smile or a joyful smile. We're all going to fight a fight. And we're going to fight it until we don't have to anymore. And what the definition is when I don't have to anymore, is when I'm so settled in the Word that it takes an enemy bigger than mine to get me upset. And I want to get there. I want to laugh at a threat. Whether it's a pain, whether it's finances, or it's a mental attack, I don't care what it is. When I can laugh at that, you understand laugh? You ever have anybody threaten you and you laugh at it? You have it every Sunday. You laugh at it because you're not considering it to be all that important. Listen, I'll say it another way. You can expect threats from the enemy. Just don't expect of yourself to be worried about it. Relieve yourself from the worry of that. Expect the threats. Don't consider the threat. Oh, it's you again. Oh, it's you. You understand what I'm talking about? He comes. He's going to threaten. It may be a person, place, or thing, but it's him. Anything that's trying to kill, steal, or destroy you or yours, it's him. Oh, it's you. Laugh at him. Say, don't you know? Don't you know? You're such a loser. And then you even quit doing that. You just look at your wife or whoever's around you and say, isn't this great? Man, I am so blessed. There is no weapon. I have a promise. And it's now in my heart. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I don't have to go around screaming that. I know it now. I just know it. And when I rest in that, it makes the Lord happy. And He's got joy. And when He's happy, I'm happy. We're all going to fight the fight until we no longer need to. I want to encourage you with that, because most of the people just tell you about the fight. They don't tell you that part afterwards. This is not a fake, right? It's not fake. This is real. And the more I try it, the more I try it. The more I do it, the devil tries, I do. The more I do this, the more free I'm going to get. If we're going to be like Jesus, anybody want to be like Jesus? If He's not your hero, then you need to change your heroes. If you don't want to be like Him, then you need to consider what you're trying to be like and change it. He didn't go around worrying about things. Did you know that? It says about one time in the Bible that He had some battles, maybe two times. I'll try to show them to you. Well, I'd be happy for two fights. If that's all I had to do, you know why He didn't fight all the time? He believed His Father. And He believed His God. Jesus, like you and I, have a God and a Father. We have a God of our flesh and we have a Father of our spirit. That's the two we have. And what's crazy is, I don't know how to say this. I'll just leave it at that. On the cross, there was one entity that died and there was one that lived. That's why you have to divide Jesus. You can't make him God on earth. He wasn't. He left his Godhood in heaven. That's what the Bible says. He came to earth. He felt every feeling. I want you to consider this carefully. And just think about all the feelings you have. He felt every feeling that you and I have ever had and ever will have. He felt them. He saw every sin that every man, woman, and child has ever committed on this earth. And he took all the feelings and all the sin and he put it in his flesh. And when that flesh died, what happened? Come on, you believers. He put it in his flesh and it died. What happened? Now come on, this is kindergarten. This is not this is not exegesis. This is kindergarten. 1 + 1 = 2. When the flesh of Jesus died, where he pocketed and placed all that sin, what happened? All the sickness, all the disease, all the poverty, all the lack, all the worry, what happened? You can say it out loud. The enemy will hate it, but you'll love it. It died, did it not? Now, well then why have I had this problem? Because you don't believe it. You don't believe it. Now come on. Nobody wants the burden of this put on them, but this is the truth. Jesus did more work than you can ever think about doing, and he didn't ask you to do anything. All he asked you to do was trust me. Believe what I've done to be true. It's all he's ever asked us to do. By the way, then he took that package back to hell and gave it to the devil. That's in there too if you're looking. Let me read a couple of scriptures to you. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. You know what's amazing? In this church, I believe more truth comes out in this church than I've ever seen. I'm talking about the kind of truth we can live on. Not the kind you have to take a notebook and write lots of notes and then you put it away and never look at it again. I'm talking about the stuff that changes your life. Galatians 5, 16 and 18. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Where are lusts in? Where are they located? In the flesh. There's only one lust that you're allowed in the Spirit, and that's the lust for God. Man, you got to want Him more than anything else. That's a lust. Use the word correctly. Did you know that God gave you every feeling and the enemy perverted it? So lust did not originate with the enemy, or it did not originate in your flesh. It originated with God, and the enemy has perverted it in your flesh. Walk by or in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The reverse of that is if you don't, you will. Verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Now, where is the war really located now? Is it against God and the devil? Is it against you and the devil? Or where is it located? It's in you. There's a war in you. Well, wait a minute. I thought I was saved. Oh, you are. You just got to believe it. Well, I thought you said I was healed. Well, you are. You just got to believe it. The enemy can only use one thing to come against you, and that's to put a chink in that faith and believing armor. Let you consider another way other than God's way. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Well, there's the war. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So where do your wishes come from? It says right there in the Scripture, they come from your flesh. So don't say, I wish I could be a better person. Scripture says, you've already got a war, don't depend on the wishes. Say it. I am a better person in Christ Jesus by the Spirit that's working me to accomplish the things of God, changing me. I'm a better person. You don't wish it, you say it. A wish will never get you anywhere. Saying will get you everywhere. Or in a terrible position if you've got a foul mouth. Change it. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So the flesh is under the law. And the law is if you sin, you die. Right? You don't want to go back there. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Oh my goodness. Should we consider our ways? Then when we look at these things that come out of us, we know what is flesh and what is spirit, right? And we're going to kill the things that are flesh and we're going to let live and build up the things of the Spirit. These things are of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. What's uncleanness? Anything that makes you feel unclean. Lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred. Can I tell you something? You'll never kill anybody but you with hatred. That's a promise. Man, I've seen some Bible-swinging Christians that hate people, and I'm telling you, they'll never understand the Bible. They'll never get a blessing, but that hatred is like a cancer. Lead them up. And the thing or person they hate may never know it. Seems like a foolish war to me. Contentions. You ever around somebody that everything is wrong? Everything makes them upset. Everything makes them unhappy. If that's you, you got some changes. By the way, the Holy Spirit's ready, willing, and able to help you with these things the minute you admit you have them. Okay, but they're yours until you want to give them away. Jealousy. Outbursts of wrath. Selfish ambitions. I mean, this one right here, we don't really have to talk about the others. Most people are in this thing for themselves. Even church. Even tithe. Even marriage. They're in the thing for themselves. It's all about you. We sang that. Did you mean it? It's all about you. I can tell whether you mean it or not. Let me tell you how. If when you praise and worship, all you can do is sing about Jesus, it's not about Him. If you sing to Him, it is. If the songs that you sing are about heaven and the sweet by and by and about God and whatever, you're not worshiping God. It's not about Him. It's about you enjoying the music. You need to get in a position where you are looking into the face of God and bragging, complimenting, loving Him. Now you know what it means about no selfish ambitions. You looking? Anybody in here looking for a good husband? Find one that has become a good bride to Christ. Services Him, loves Him, does anything He wants. Now you got a good husband. Otherwise, they're full of selfish ambitions. Dissensions, heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But I'm saved. You better look at your Bible. If you think once saved, always saved is in that Bible, you are mistaken. It is not. It is not. I work out my salvation daily. I work out my salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because it's too precious to ignore. It's too precious to take advantage of. I owe, so off to work I go. Well, who am I working for? God. Who do I owe? God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Self-control. I don't lose it in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I can turn it loose and let it. I can let the leash out a little bit once in a while, but I never lose control. Some people are called to more control than the other. Do you know that? I promise you. There are callings on lives. We need to quit trying to categorize people by how I think they look and act. I know what I'm responsible for. I know how I act. My calling is different than yours. Please don't do it my way, and I won't do it yours. Okay? Part of my self-control is that right there. Make a statement and obey it. Listen to this. Against such, there is no law. If we're manifesting self-control, joy. If I just pick those two, I'm going to go so far, the others will just follow. But if I don't let my flesh direct my feet, man, I've already accomplished. If I don't let it control my mouth, I've gone most of the way. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. What does that mean? We're all going to be boring? Not to the world. That's exactly what it means. Because what you're going to do is you've got lines drawn that you're not going to cross. You'll have fun, but it won't be by getting drunk. You'll have fun, but it won't be by being a whore. Man or woman. You're going to have all kinds of fun, but it won't be by cussing, yelling, screaming, stealing, lying, cheating. Because you're going to draw the line. And then you're going to find out what fun really is. What's really fun is have people look at you and say, what are you up to? See, now you've got somebody looking at you. That's good. Jesus was a spirit being and a flesh soul, too. That is you and I. Listen again. He had every feeling. Listen again. He had every temptation. How did he feel it? He took it in his flesh. You want to make a bunch of people mad, you just say this out loud in another church. He became the biggest sinner on the face of the earth. And you can shout about that. Man, I get goosebumps thinking about it. He took every one of my sins. He didn't think about it. He didn't dream about it. He took it. And he became the sinner. He became that sinner. Don't get insulted. Get excited. Get excited. That is not an insult to my Lord. He says, thank you, Stan, for telling the truth. He knew what it was like to feel homosexuality. He knew what it was like to want a woman. He knew that. So don't use the excuse that he was God. He never felt those things. See, if he hadn't have felt them and experienced them, let's use that term loosely just for a second. If he hadn't experienced those feelings, he would not know how to deal with you and help you. God never felt them. That's why Jesus is set at the right hand as an intercessor. Because God looks at you and me and says, what in the world is wrong with that guy? And Jesus said, let me tell you. You may think that's weird, but we got to bring it down. We got to put feet on what we believe. We got to see it so we can understand it. That's the way God made us. He's not going to be insulted if we say it a little differently than normal. Jesus believed in God more than he believed in the feelings and the temptations. We need to remember that when our flesh is getting attacked, when we're getting lied about all the things that you've ever felt. He walked in victory because he believed the truth more than the lie that was the attack. Turn to Luke chapter 22, verse 39. And I'm going to show you one of the two places that Jesus was really hit hard. Now, these that we know about. I'm not going to make up things. I'm not going to talk about when he stumped his toe or all that stuff. I think I've shared this with you before, but one of the things that set me free, because of my background and how they talked about Jesus, like he was something way up here, I could not touch him. I'd been taught that there was no way to get to where he was. He was such a superior being that I couldn't touch him. And one day, God spoke to me just as clear. I was a young man. And he said, don't worry about it, Stan. Jesus pooped his diapers too. Now that may not mean a thing to you, but that changed my life. And then he showed me where he talked back to his parents. He sassed them. Jesus sassed his parents. If you want to know where that is, study. It's in there. He kind of yeah-yeahed people too, a little bit. And he went with the tax collectors, which was the worst thing on the earth. Still is, by the way. He hung around them. He did the things that would get him kicked out of most churches. He walked in the church, didn't commit sin, and said, you snakes, you vipers. And he pitched tables. That's my Lord. Said, I don't like this place. Now I'm going to do some changing in here. Can you see Jesus walking like that now when he comes in? He likes my music. He made it. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. Did I already say that? All right. Coming out, Jesus, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, listen to this, pray that you may not enter into temptation. So we have a quotation from Jesus about when to pray. When is that? When we might be worried about some temptation. Well, what are you going to pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Wait a minute. I'm the one hurting here. No, no, no. He told you when to pray and he told you what to pray. Maybe we need to listen a little more to the word. A little less to our flesh. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw and he knelt down to pray. Why? Well, he just said, so I won't enter into temptation. I need to get some victory here. Here's what he said. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. That's his flesh speaking. Why? Well, number one, he didn't want to die. Come on, that's your flesh. I don't want to die. And I surely don't want to get beaten. I surely don't want nails in my hands and feet. Nevertheless, this is another one. If you don't ever learn another verse in the Bible, learn this one. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. And his flesh was killed. He shut his flesh up. Then an angel, look at this, Pastor. Then an angel appeared. When he was sweating drops of blood. And an angel showed up. What for? What for? Not to do the work. Not to do the work. To assist in the thought processes. To tell you truth. To speak to you. The angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Not delivering him, strengthening him. This is exciting to me. And being in agony, that tells you that he was suffering, right? He prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. When's the last time you sweat so profusely that it looked like blood? When he rose, look what the angel did for him. Got him up off his knees. Got it, stopped him from sweating. Encouraged him, strengthened him. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter in temptation. Oh, I didn't know I could enter in temptation sleeping. You got the formula. Matthew 27:46. Here's the second time. Matthew 27:46. Where's that mic? I'll give this to at about the ninth hour, he's on the cross. Do you think he's under pressure? Do you think he's embarrassed? Well, I guarantee he's being offered embarrassment. I guarantee the yayas are there. The two on the side, one of them is yayan. The people down there are yayan. The devil's yayaning. Because he didn't know yet he was a Messiah. He was just treating him like any other man. Do you understand that the devil didn't know Jesus was the Messiah? He didn't know that until after the earthquake. After his ground shook. Let's put it that way. At about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with what kind of voice? A defeated voice, right? He was so weak he could just barely whisper. No. Right in the middle of the biggest battle that anybody's ever fought in this entire universe, he loudly, boldly cried out. What did he cry? My God, why have you forsaken me? What cried that? He didn't say, my Father, because he knew in his spirit he was not forsaken. But that flesh that was in tremendous pressure and tremendous pain said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He didn't sin. God loves us so much that he paid the highest price for us and believes he got a good deal. Y'all ever heard that before? Jesus didn't think he was cheated, and the Father didn't think he was cheated. Jesus said, it's finished. I've done what you asked me to do, Father. He didn't look at those people down there on the floor and say, I did it for you. He didn't say that. You didn't ask him to do that, so he couldn't say that to you. His Father asked him to do that. And he did it for you. Secondary. Mostly to please the Father. We need to learn that in our lives. We need to stop trying to please man and please the Father. It's that simple. Go to bed tonight thinking about everything that you said and did today and know that you pleased the Father. And that you will never have a problem in your life that he's not already taken care of. We also have to believe that what he did there, what the Father did for us through Jesus Christ, was more than enough. Very, very important thought. I started out with this thought. I'll probably closely end with it. What he did, you must understand, believe that it was more than enough. You've never done anything. Anything's ever been done to you. There's no weapon that's ever been formed that was bigger than what's been done for you. Now, when that gets you get that settled in your life, it's finished. You can smile about attacks because you know all they are is a prelude to some kind of victory. Isn't that what the attack on Jesus was? A prelude to the biggest victory that was ever accomplished? Well, he destroyed the enemy. He destroyed the enemy. Do I have one? No, he's destroyed. He can still squeak. I just need to quit listening. We must believe so much that we learn to cast all our cares upon him. What does that mean? That means the cares are still going to come, but not so fast that we can't cast them. Oh, by the way, God, here's one more. God, here's your bill. If I've given everything to him, I've given him my bills. If I've given him everything, I've given him my flesh. I've given him my body. Do you think he wants a sick old beat up body? Oh, he says, thanks. I paid the best price in the world, and that's just what you give me? No, God. Here I am. Just as I am. Without a defense. Without one plea. Get behind me, see? Without one plea. Do you know what that means? Here I am, warts and all. No defense. No reason. No rhyme. You asked for this tub of mess, you got it. Here I am. All the history. God says, what history? I don't remember anything. Why are you remembering it? You're free. I remind you. He sends the angels when you're in agony. What are you agonizing about? See, you've never carried the sins of the world, the possibility of death on your shoulders. Don't try to take that position. He asked for one martyr. He never asked for a second. Never asked you in your life to suffer for him. Now, how can you say that, Stan? I can point. Let me tell you something. If you're doing his will, you will not suffer. If you are totally casting your cares upon him, everybody else may see you sweating drops of blood, but you see joy. Don't let this deceive you. Don't let this deceive you. I'm healed. Don't let that bill deceive you. I've got more than enough. Explain it to me. Don't have to. Work's been done. I didn't do it. I'm not going to go there. If we believe that it's done, if we've learned to cast all our cares, we become totally sure. Do you ever question God? Because if you do, you're not totally sure. Does the enemy ever put a question in your mind? Yes, he'll do that. What's your instant response? Then you can check yourself to see if you're totally sure. Well, you're trying to brainwash me. Absolutely. With the word, I am trying to wash your brain. That's brainwashing. You can call it propaganda. You can call it truth. You call it whatever it is. But if you will adopt what is being taught in this church, you're going to have something that the world asks about. They're going to wonder why you fight this way, why you stand this way, why you talk this way, why you smile. What are you smiling about? I'd be happy to tell you if you'll shut up and listen. Now, if you want to waste my time, I got better things to do. That's scripture too, by the way. Stan's interpretation. But go to somebody's house, take your peace. If they don't accept you, take your peace and leave. That means whatever you intended to offer them, take it and leave. Don't waste it. What's going to keep us safe is the walk of joy and peace. Once you get the salvation, once you get the spirit filled, you get all of this basics that we should have had it covered a long time ago. When that begins to cover everything, explain everything, and give you sweet sleep, you're full of joy and you're full of peace. Then no weapon formed against you will even, you'll not even know it's there. The world wants what we just talked about tonight. They want it badly. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. Next week I'll talk about some formulas there, okay? Amen. Father, thank you for the joy. Thank you when that music came on that it put joy in this place. I appreciate that. I thank you that it excited me. I thank you. The reason is because we were reminded of the promise of God and the Word of God. We've done that here again tonight. We've reminded each other of the promise and the Word. We've come together and washed our minds and our souls and our spirits with your Word. Move your people around the world, Lord, move your people, because I know you're speaking this in other places. Move them into a walk of faith like they've never experienced. Joy, that peace that passes understanding, so that we can do that work without worry that you have given us. let us understand that the Spirit goes before us, working in us with shields around us to accomplish your will. With all of our hearts, we love you. But one more step than that, we trust you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And everybody that agrees, in Jesus' name, says amen. Thank you for your time.